Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're over here having a coffee on Blind Bargains with Andrew Kirkpatrick, Senior Product Manager for Accessibility for Adobe. Welcome to Blind Bargains, Andrew.
Thank you.
And we're talking a lot, of course, about Adobe and their commitment to accessibility. So why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about your job and how it relates to Adobe and accessibility.
Sure. So I and my team work within Adobe on a cross-product team, which means that we provide information and assistance to internal product teams across our product line. In the areas of accessibility. We are also working with those product teams around product audits for compliance regions, and we're also involved with various accessibility standards efforts around the globe.
Such as like Section 508 here in the U.S.?
Yep. I was on the Section 508 Refresh the TITAC committee, doing its work that we'll hopefully see a new draft of in the coming month, we hear. And was also involved with the WCAG 2 working group with the W3C. Other members of my team are on the W3C's protocol and formats working group, the authoring tool accessibility guidelines working group, and as well as the PDF UA universal accessibility work group through AIM. Looking at PDF accessibility standards.
Sure. PDF, of course, being one of the big format that Adobe deals with. And there's definitely a lot of PDF access for Windows. It's come a long way since the first version of Adobe Reader that was accessible a few years ago. Now you can use it with several screen readers and magnifiers and other programs. How is access for other devices, such as mobile phones or the iPhone, et cetera?
Yep. So and related to PDF. So we introduced support for accessibility for PDF in 2002. So we're in our eighth year of support now, and I think that we've made a lot of progress with different assistive technologies in the space of mobile devices. That is something that we haven't dealt with so much in our tools. And one of the things that's an important point to emphasize is that PDF is not a proprietary Adobe format. At this point, we've released it a couple years back to ISO. So it's an ISO standard, ISO 32000. And we've had it as an open specification for a while, so there's additional reading tools, there's additional PDF rendering and viewing tools that are available out there, both in the mobile space as well as on the desktop. So right now, Adobe does not have a reading tool that, we've tested and worked with assistive technologies on mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
There are other tool vendors that may do more with that, or certainly could do more with that as well.
Right. So now that the specification is out, there's no reason why an assistive technology company couldn't do it, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, an assistive technology company can't do it on its own. It has to have a tool that exposes all the underlying information, like we do in Adobe Reader on the desktop. And that's something that I would love to see Adobe do.
Sure.
But our focus has been more on the desktop.
Do the AT companies have access to that tool for free, or is it something they'd have to pay for?
To the
tool that would make these PDFs accessible on mobile devices. And...
Well, I think that with PDF being an open standard as it is, a PDF viewer that someone would make, would need to do a lot of the heavy lifting that we've done in the reader in order to expose that. And part of the challenge, in the mobile space is that it's a very new space with, new accessibility APIs that are available now, and just trying to make sure that, all that information is exposed in the PDF to that new accessibility API is just something that, hasn't happened yet.
Okay. What other recent developments can you talk about? You did give a presentation, or you're giving one at ATIA. What are some of the latest accessibility initiatives?
Yeah, so some of the things that we're pretty excited about is, we have a runtime called AIR, and Adobe AIR is used by developers to create cross-platform applications. And the first version of Adobe AIR did not have accessibility support in it, but the next version, AIR 2, which is a free runtime, is including support for accessibility within that. So now an AIR developer is going to be able to author an application, whether that be a Twitter client or a more robust, complex application, and be able to add in additional accessibility support they have not been able to in the past. So this is a major improvement,
right,
that we're excited to be able to have. On top of that, we've got our Flex framework, which we're in the beta stage for Flex 4,
okay,
and we've done a lot of work on accessibility within that. We've added a whole new line of components and added accessibility support to those, and improved the support that was for the existing set of components within the Flex development framework. So the end result, and we're also enabling accessibility by default, which has been a shortcoming over the past.
Sure.
But the end result is that developers will be able to more easily create more accessible applications using Flex, which is a Flash-based.
And are they encouraged to do so in the development process? Is it front and center as far as when they're developing programs?
Yeah, I mean, the tools that they need in order to do so are right there in front of them.
Okay.
Right now the development tools are not, providing, there's not pop-up reminders
Right.
But we're working to make it easier for them to do their work. We've provided some Flex is an XML-based language that you write within, and we've provided new convenience attributes for developers to be able to more easily address accessibility. So in the past, they would have had to have written 3 lines of code in order to accomplish something that they can now do with a simple attribute. So we're working to make it easier.
Okay, that's great. How much influence does your team have, or are you the ones that are in charge of deciding which products get accessibility support, or are you, like, does the management tell you that, or?
That would be nice if I could completely in charge of defining
right.
what we do. But it's as with any other product feature, there's many people involved with different decisions about whether a feature is deferred or goes ahead. My team provides input from end users and developers that we hear from who are concerned with accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
We, raise issues for requirements related to compliance with standards and, how to make the development process easier for people.
Right.
And we're providing that back to, the central product management group for particular products. And, we're involved with lobbying for those features and making sure that we're bringing forth all the evidence as to why something is important. So we're a resource for the product teams for that.
Right.
But we're not in a position where we basically we're stopping the ship of any product.
I guess one of the reasons I asked that, and this is a comment I hear about a lot of companies, not just Adobe, is that when you talk about like a new product, like Adobe AIR that comes out, it often seems like the first version that comes out doesn't have accessibility, where it's always like, okay, we have to release a version, and then, oh yeah, by the way, we do need to add accessibility, and then it has to always sneak into the second version, and it happens with a lot of companies.
Yeah, it does, and it's, I think it's frustrating, and I like to think that that's not a reality of product development. In some cases, it seems like it. In some cases, it seems like it might be. I know that very often product teams, and this isn't limited to Adobe, are looking to prove baseline level market viability in the first version of a product, and there's features that don't get addressed with that. And I think it's unfortunate.
How do we prove the importance then as consumers that we should be part of the baseline?
Well, I think a lot of the emphasis on accessibility standards and the attention that accessibility has gotten over the past few years. I mean, I've been dealing with accessibility for almost 10 years now, mm-hmm. and my perception is that accessibility has gotten a lot more high profile in the past 2 years than it has been prior to that.
Right.
And that may just be my perception within Adobe, but that's the place where I want that perception to be to exist as well. So I think the groundwork's been laid for that, and I think that we're seeing companies be more serious about accessibility and addressing it sooner and in better ways. Because it's not like it's something that's going to go away. It's not a problem that
right.
gets solved. It has to be part of our regular process. We have to deal with it in a consistent, robust way for all of our products. So I think that message has been conveyed much more effectively internally now than it has been in the past.
Okay, definitely. One specific question I have received from a lot of people, and this has come to the forefront. With universities talking about accessibility in their textbooks, is the possible accessibility of Adobe digital editions. Do you know if any progress is being made to make those books accessible?
Yes. So there's the issue with ebooks that are delivered and viewed within digital editions. There's really two problems. One is that digital editions isn't accessible,
mm-hmm.
And that is something that Adobe the product team has committed to making sure that digital editions does become accessible. Digital editions uses AIR, and with AIR's accessibility, digital editions can now address
sure.
accessibility. So that there's a lot of we're very optimistic about that, and looking and doing planning to make sure that we produce a digital edition that works as well as possible.
Right.
And then on the other side, we have a product called Content Server, and Content Server is a tool that is used by publishers to add the DRM to their products. So we are working with discussing with various other ebook reading tools about how they can implement our SDK to open up the DRM so that these additional tools can have access to these books. Because
sure.
My general perspective is that even if we made digital editions as accessible as we could imagine, there would still be many users who would prefer another tool or might have additional needs that we don't cover as well as another specialized ebook reading tool. So
okay.
we'd like to make those books as broadly accessible as we can.
Is there a timeline for that, or as far as digital editions and AIR 2?
Timeline for digital editions is the next major release.
Okay.
Which I don't have a specific public timeline on that.
Are we talking like weeks, a lot of months, years, though?
I think we're talking within the calendar year.
Okay.
And then the timeline for getting additional tools to utilize our SDK. I don't have any control over that
right.
timeline. In theory, that could happen faster if we have a tool that has a faster development
sure.
timeline. But that's something that I hope would happen over rolling period as more tools become interested and want to implement it.
Okay. If users have comments about the efforts that you make with accessibility, or they want to give feedback, what would be the best way for them to get in contact with you guys?
Well, we have on Adobe's website, we have adobe.com/accessibility, which is a good place to visit and look around, because there's resources for developers as well as some links for end users with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
In this section of the Adobe website, it's also a great place. If you have problems with PDF documents and you want to help notify the authors of issues that they have with PDF documents that they're offering or Flash documents that they're authoring, sometimes I hear about people who talk with authors and they say, "Well, we don't know what to do." you know, this is a great place to point people to.
Okay.
To say, you can, you know, if you don't know how to do it, go look at this
page, and
they have resources to help authors. But on there as well, there's information for users with disabilities, and we also have the ability to offer feedback via the website as well. There's an email address. Feedback's just through an email address. It's access@adobe.com.
Okay.
And that comes to my team, and you know, we're happy to hear feedback from anybody.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate you letting our listeners know what's going on with Adobe and the work that you're doing with accessibility, and it's much appreciated.
Thank you.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.